Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
I'm Natalie.
And today we have the pleasure of welcoming back one of our favorite experts, member of Berry Nation, Dr. Shannon McMahon. Hello. We are so excited to have this opportunity to talk to you today. Was it like a month ago? You were at a community struggle bus and somebody asked a question about, I don't even remember what, and you unmuted yourself and in 10 minutes dropped so much knowledge on us. It was like a complete knowledge bomb. We were all just blown away at the importance of muscle retention and muscle building before and after surgery, right? That resistance training. And after that struggle bus, Jason, Nyla, and I were like, we need to invite her back on the podcast because everybody needs to know this information. We recently recorded with Dr. Matthew Weiner, and in that recording, he said there are four things that we can do to change our body weight, basically, right? To change our metabolic set point. It was bariatric surgery, anti-obesity medication, eating a whole food, kind of a plant-based diet, and then resistance training. That was it, those four things. And as patients, we hear it's really important to move and do all these things after surgery, but a lot of us have resistance to this idea of resistance training. So today, Dr. McMahon, we're very excited to learn from you the science behind the why. Why is it so important for us to focus on our muscles, muscle retention, muscle growth, and what are some strategies and some things that we can do to just kind of get started? So before we dive in, though, we want to pass the mic to you so you can introduce yourself to any of our friends and followers that don't know you yet.
All right. Well, as you said, my name is Shannon McMahon. I am an internal medicine physician, and I'm also board certified in obesity medicine. And I'm currently becoming board eligible in lifestyle medicine. I've been practicing since 2002. I had RNY surgery myself in February 2020. And once I got in the crux of it, after the binder ran out, I realized I did not know anything about my own disease, nor did I know what to do after the bullet points were all checked off. So that's what inspired me to do the obesity medicine certification so I could learn about the disease and then give back to the community. And I went to Michigan State for both undergrad and medical school. And I did my training at McLaren Macomb, which was used to be called Mount Clemens General. And that's about it.
Oh yeah, that's about it. I'm just a, highly sought after, highly educated, female doctor just out here, doing my thing. Okay. You're amazing, and we are so thankful for your expertise on this podcast. So if you guys are ready, I say let's just dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, we always like to start the podcast making sure we are speaking the same language, but I actually want to go a little bit farther and I'm going to call us all out. What is our current relationship with our muscles, or what is our current relationship with resistance training, right? And Jason, I'm going to start with you. What's your current mood?
We're on speaking terms. We're flirting a little bit. We're trying to get there. We're trying to make it a thing. We're kind of eyeing each other. No, I've been talking to a couple of different people about putting a program together for myself to get me back in and get me back started again, because I've realized that a lot of the times that I spend in the gym making up my own routine of things that I remember just from years of lifting before was that I don't want to waste my time this time in the gym. I want it to be very calculated as to why I'm there and what I'm working, so that I'm not just kind of running around going, oh, let's do this. This looks fun today. And just kind of working on something. I want everything to be calculated enough that I see the results that I'm looking for, because that's what's going to keep me going.
Awesome. And I appreciate how you call it you're flirting with it. I totally get that. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I see you're kind of good looking, but okay, right? Got it. Got it. But I also appreciate that efficiency. I mean, I know how busy you are. I know how absolutely slammed you are, and making sure that you can really kind of maximize the time that you want to be dedicating to this type of movement is important. And I think it's going to be important for all kinds of people in our community. So awesome. Okay, cool. Miss Nat, what about you?
Well, I like Jason. We're flirting a little bit. I was a little consistent at the end of last year. I know the importance. I've talked to Dr. McMahon. I've talked to other experts in the community. I struggle because I do have a chronic illness, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, or POTS, which it makes it a little bit more difficult for me to feel the desire to go to the gym or the desire to strength train, even though it is like movement and resistance training is one of the top remedies for my condition. So I know the importance, and I'm trying to get back to it because I did feel better when I was at the gym. So that's where I'm at.
And what I, again, appreciate about what you said, I struggle with this too. And just like Jason, I'm flirting with it, but there is a resistance to resistance movement. And I'm hoping that's something we can also kind of talk about today, because I know a lot of us are feeling the same way. Don't know where to start. It's intimidating. I don't want to hurt myself, right? That's probably things that we're telling ourselves. But maybe today we can come up with strategies that we can move beyond that mindset and see how we can incorporate it. Awesome. Well, Dr. McMahon, what about you? What is your current relationship with resistance movement?
I would say we're dating, but not going steady. So I do movement every day. So there's the good in things, but I do right now. I'm just doing light weights, like 10 minutes, two or three times a week, like the Peloton arms and legs weights. So I'll do a ride, and then I'll do that, or I'll do a tread workout and do that. In the beginning, when I was, first learning about it, I tried harder and was doing like body weight type things, and I just found out that I absolutely hate push-ups and squats and burpees. And so I think that kind of turned me away for a while, because you have to do something you enjoy or you are not going to do it. So I am doing it more. I'm committing to trying to start to, do some one of the programs I'm going to try and start doing. Peloton has multiple programs, and there's a couple of beginner strength. So I'm hoping this month I'm going to do one of the newer beginner strength. That's like a beginner split, and it involves the body weight stuff that I don't like, but it's going to be short classes, so I'm going to give it a whirl. So that's about where I'm at.
Awesome. Awesome. And I was joking, I haven't touched a weight in 44 years. I'm not even dating. I'm not even looking. Like, I'm not even in, that is just not my thing, but I'm getting there. And I have done some Peloton light arms and weights and stuff like that. I have done something to my shoulder, and I'm using that as an excuse to not do any type of resistance movement, which I absolutely could, because it's one shoulder and I've got all kinds of other things that I could do. But I too am resistant to this, and I worry that I'm going to look like an idiot. I worry that I'm going to do it wrong. I worry that if it's not prescribed and somebody's telling me exactly what to do, it's just not worth it, right? I want to tell myself I can't figure it out. So, yeah, I think we've all said those things to each other. So, okay, so now that we know where we're all at with this, I think it's time we really get to the meat of this conversation. Why is resistance training, muscle retention, muscle growth so important for us as bariatric patients? What is that science behind it?
Well, one of the things that I think is important in general is, exercise itself is important in maintaining the long-term metabolic effects of bariatric surgery. So initially, when you have bariatric surgery, whether, which type, either sleeve gastrectomy, Roux-en-Y, now it's SADY more than the double switch, but it changes your physiology in the first 12 to 18 months. So each one is a little different. The sleeve decreases your ghrelin, your hunger hormone, improves your insulin sensitivity, decreases inflammation, all those things. And gastric bypass does all those things, and also increases your natural GLP-1, which is in all those new injectable medications that are on the market. So all of them help with insulin sensitivity, decreasing inflammation, and helping your blood flow and your overall metabolic health. But unfortunately, as time goes on, your body kind of goes back to the old way if you don't do all the things in addition to the surgery. Like we always say, the surgery is a tool that gets us, the best outcome, but you do still have to do some work to maintain. So that being said, you know, I was listening to a podcast. Her name is Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, and she said something that kind of blew my mind. She's like, think of skeletal muscle as your largest organ. And I never had really thought about that even in my background. So it's actually an endocrine organ. So, and it makes up 40% of your body. And it is the main place that glucose gets broken down. It provides your insulin sensitivity, breaks down cholesterol, you know, and basically it has all positive effects. But if you don't, you know, take care of it, it's not going to do all those things. So everyone loses muscle naturally, starting in age 30 and up. Usually you can lose anywhere between 4 to 8% of your muscle mass as you age per year. Bariatric surgery, unfortunately, people lose a little bit quicker, especially the first 3 months because of the rapid weight loss and the difference in absorption and things like that. So all of our society, she puts it, is that we are focusing on the wrong thing. She thinks we should be on muscle-centric medicine instead of worrying about obesity-centric medicine. And, you know, everyone has different opinion, but she has some really good insight on that. And so she has several podcasts, and of course, I deep dive, and, you know, there's a zillion things you can learn from her and multiple other people that she interviews or vice versa. But I think that's the biggest take home point is our skeletal muscle, which is the muscle that holds our bones together and helps us move, is the largest organ in our body. And it makes up 40% of our body weight. And it's basically, if you don't have healthy muscle, you don't have healthy metabolism.
So I was unaware that muscle meds was a thing. That's pretty phenomenal to me. Like, that's the first I've heard of it. Aside from the fact of how rude it is that we start losing muscle mass at 30, like, let's talk about that first off, because I'm way past that. Like, so I got work to do to make up for something that was happening to me that I didn't even know was happening. That's a problem in itself.
Yes.
And I just got to 30 and I'm like, no thanks. I'm going to turn around and...
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more.
So just one other important thing. When you suffer from the disease of obesity, you technically have more skeletal muscle because you develop it to help carry the body weight. But that muscle you have, she basically explains, if you have unhealthy muscle, it looks like a marbled steak instead of a filet mignon. So the muscle is there, but it has more lipids in it. It is not efficient. It's there, but it's not efficient. So as you begin to exercise and move against resistance, and you know, the surgery helps you lose weight, your muscle becomes more healthy and more metabolically active. And you know, that becomes very important, especially if you suffered from insulin resistance or type 2 diabetes pre-op. You definitely want to focus on keeping your muscle healthy post-op so that you keep those diseases in remission.
That's always been my running joke for people who, when I was going to get back in the gym, were asking about leg days. And I was like, when you're carrying 470 pounds, every day's leg day, bro. Like, I'm good. Like, my legs are golden. I got to work the rest of this out. My legs are good. Like, I'm good there.
True. Well, and I can remember too, when I went in for my surgery, I had one of those, it wasn't a scan, but it was a scale. And then I did the water test. And anyways, and I remember it came back and my surgeon said, oh, your recovery is going to be no problem at all. And okay, well, why? And it was because of that. My skeletal muscle mass was so huge. And at that time he explained it. He said, you know, many bariatric patients, many obese people who go in for surgery are actually, they're very muscular because you've been kind of forced, right, to carry around all of that excess weight and your muscles are doing that. But as soon as you wake up from surgery, your body's fighting against you now, and it's going to be tapping into that muscle reserve, especially if you're not hitting your protein goals, right? So this is one of the questions we wanted to ask you, Dr. McMahon. If we don't hit those protein goals and our body doesn't have the protein that it needs to fuel itself, its next source is going to be the muscle, right? So then it starts eating away at that. So not only are we deficient from the protein side of things, and if we're not moving and if we're not doing all of these things, it's also going to start eating away at that muscle mass. And that's the exact opposite of what we want. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right. So if you do not eat enough protein, your body cannot make or build new muscle, and it will take from your muscle. And the same goes for taking your vitamins. You absolutely positively must take your bariatric vitamins because your muscles need the trace minerals and vitamins also to fuel them and keep them healthy. So nutrition, like we always say, you can't build abs. You build abs in the kitchen. That's why they say that, is because you must have proper protein intake and you must make sure you're getting all your micronutrients as well.
Okay, I just got a quick, because this question popped into my head. So if we've had bariatric surgery and we're supposed to consume 80 grams of protein, let's say, in a day, right? And we're only getting 40, 50, but we're resistance training. So we're attempting, right, to maintain or to add our muscles. If we don't hit those protein goals, you're saying that even though we're doing all of this work, we're not actually going to build any muscle because we don't have the fuel to actually create the muscle.
Essentially, that's the theory. Yes, that if you aren't giving your body, you know, because protein is more than just protein. You have to think about the essential amino acids and things like that that we don't have naturally in the body. So your muscle needs those amino acids, and the amino acids are usually from protein sources. So yes, those are the building blocks to keep your muscles healthy and to build new muscle. In addition to diet and protein and vitamins, sleep is another huge one. There's also a soundbite she has that if you lose one night of sleep, you lose, your muscle becomes 18% less effective. So it's like drastic. So basically less sleep. So 4 hours a night or less, your muscle has no fuel to be able to function. So shift workers like myself, you know, in residency, I'm from the old school where we did like 36 hour shifts. So I not only didn't have sleep, high stress hormones, and then we certainly didn't eat healthy because who had time to even eat. And so that's when I saw my weight skyrocket, was in those 3 years of residency. And I'm like, I don't know why this is happening to me. I'm like constantly moving. Well, it was because I was not sleeping and didn't have proper nutrition. Most likely that my muscles were just, sorry, we're checking out. So yes, it's all interconnected. So there's a method to the reason that they all tell us you have to eat your protein, you have to take your vitamins, you have to move. It's because of the way the disease process of obesity is, and that muscle is the main organ in your body that is hooked to your metabolism.
Well, I knew that sleep was important. I listened to an entire podcast, shout out to Ologies, if anyone else listens to that. They did a two-part series on sleep, and that's when I started getting really serious about my sleep schedule, because like you said, Shannon, that's when a lot of our body does a lot of work, because during the day we're active, we're doing things throughout the day. And then at night when we sleep is when our body can build muscle, it can recover, it can like do all the things it needs to do while we're resting. And when I put that puzzle piece together, I do feel better. Like when I get my designated amount of sleep, that's when I feel better. That's when I feel like I can tackle my day. That's when I feel the most productive. But it is because, like, just like eating right, you have to sleep right so that your body can do all of those important things at night.
Hey, Berry friends, it's Natalie, and it is the holiday season. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for your berry pal? Maybe you've finally realized that you also deserve to get something special this holiday season. Why not give the gift of bariatric support with an annual membership to the Bari Nation support community? With over 80 live ways to connect, learn, and grow with bariatric dietitians, mental health experts, movement specialists, surgeons, and peers, you and your loved ones are bound to find the support needed for a successful and supported bariatric life. For just over $1 a day, you and your Bari fam can enjoy the gift that keeps on giving with the Bari Nation Support Community annual membership. Head to the Bari Nation website, barination.com, to learn more.
Well, and I'm just going to call all three of us out, especially me. You guys know I love to work at like 10, 11, 12 a.m. And I'm always, I mean, you guys know, but oh my God. And I know, Jason, you're a night owl just like me too, right? We're up into the wee hours of the morning. So no matter what, so I guess what I'm starting to really piece together is like, oh my God, there is really a legit reason for me to stop doom scrolling, to close my computer, to not respond to things, to not email Jason and Nat. And it's for our bodies. It's for our muscles, right? So because if we're not getting that adequate sleep, nothing is rebuilding. And then thinking about you, Jason, all the time that I know you want to put into the gym, but you're staying up late like me, like we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Oh yeah, because I went to bed last night at like 12:45 and I was up at 10 till 7 on my way to work. And that's routinely. I do that to myself. I'm a night owl and an early bird all at the same time. I've been all my life, I've been like a 6 hour. If I can nail 6 hours, I'm golden. Like that's my sweet spot of sleep to be like firing on all cylinders the next day. Sometimes if I get more than that, I'm way groggy and it takes me forever to get going. Sometimes if I get less than that, it's kind of the same, but I figured like 6 to 6.5 has usually been my sweet spot. But these percentage points are getting increasingly ruder as we go along. So we're going to need to send like strongly worded emails about this because I don't know who to talk to, but I don't like it. Like I've never been a big math guy, but these numbers are not okay. I'm just saying, because I'm going to have to start going to bed at like, as soon as we log off of here, seven o'clock, I'm going to start doing like early bird specials for dinner and then hitting the bed by like a little tapioca nightcap with some Matlock, being passed out by 7:30.
I feel called out because they also know that I'm on DND by 7.
Oh my God.
And it don't call me.
It drives us nuts too, because like, God, nah, we got to do this, and it's literally 11. Yeah, it's 2 p.m. Eastern time or 2 a.m. It's 11 mine, and Jason and I are just ready to get stuff done. But this puts like such a different, I guess, perspective or spin on it, right? Because yes, I could lay in bed scrolling, working, doing all of that kind of stuff, but I mean, Jason, is this? I mean, do you really think this is going to help you shift some of your behaviors and actions, knowing the science behind it? And I know how important kind of getting back to the gym is for you. I know how important that it is for you.
It's going to have to, especially knowing the fact that if I really am talking about drilling down and making every minute that I'm in there count, like it's all got to count. Like it's all going to factor in somewhere. So if I collect all of those pieces and put it together, that's what's going to help make it all count. Because I can have the most detailed workout plan I want, and if I'm still shorting myself on sleep, or if I'm short, it's no different than shorting myself in the kitchen or shorting myself anywhere else on the journey. If I'm not putting all the pieces in place to connect and make it the best I can make it, then, you know, it's kind of like what you said with your shoulder. Like, what's the point in going and doing it if I'm just going to be filling a pitcher of water with a hole in the bottom? And going, why isn't it filling up? Like it's never going to reach the top. I'm never going to reach the full potential I can and make the most out of my workout if I'm not putting all the pieces in place.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, I have a sleep question. Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nat.
Go for it.
No, I just wanted to add, sleep is also imperative for the muscle recovery. So when you do work out, your muscles aren't recovering if you're not sleeping. So it's both on both ends. You need to sleep in order to build the muscle, and then you need to sleep to let your muscle recover for the next workout.
You mentioned micronutrients as well. We know that we have to get in like protein, from whatever meat source or vegetable sources, however we acquire that. But like, I'm curious about micronutrients and how those come into play. And I'm not sure if you know which ones or why certain ones are needed, but that I'm very curious about that.
Well, vitamin D, I'll start with first because that is vital for your bone health. But it's also been linked to fatigue and mood and multiple other things. And I bring that up first because if you are losing muscle, that also puts your bone health at risk. So when you lose weight rapidly, the stress on your bones is getting better, which is in theory good, but it also changes how your bone growth cycles are operating. So, and with the if you have a malabsorptive procedure like the SADI or RNY, you're not absorbing calcium and you're not absorbing vitamin D, so you have a risk of something called hyperparathyroidism, which can leach calcium from your bones in theory. So vitamin D, multiple things, but primarily for your bone health. B vitamins are generally for like memory and nerves. Vitamin A is, vision. But the trace minerals that come up most frequently in the literature for bariatric patients that have malabsorptive procedures are probably copper and zinc. So, a pretty large percentage, I want to say up to 18% of people can be deficient in those after the first 1 or 2 years after surgery. And so copper is related to making blood cells. So if you don't have enough, you can become anemic. Can be related to having trouble regulating your body temperature. It also can be related to poor bone health. It can give you neuropathies, meaning nerve problems. It can give you, it can like mimic, if you have some of these deficiencies, it can mimic like a neurologic disorder, like, MS or, rare diseases because you get off balance, or you can have some really significant side effects of not having enough vitamins. And zinc, it can be related to gastrointestinal health. So if you have low zinc, you can have diarrhea, appetite issues, hair loss, cognitive impairment, meaning same thing, your brain function, skin issues like dermatitis. So those are a couple of the highlights. I mean, I don't know everything by heart all the time, but like that's just a thumbnail of how important it is to take a bariatric specific multivitamin that has all the proper contents in it, and to make sure you're also taking your calcium chews or your calcium tablets at least twice a day, unless you've been told otherwise due to other medical issues. At the minimum, that's that should be part of your non-negotiables because the vitamin deficiencies can cause a lot of serious long-term health effects.
If you are listening and you are watching this or watching this podcast and you have not taken your vitamin today, dear Lord, stop what you are doing. Go take your vitamin. And if you don't have one, send us a message so we can send you some excellent companies that can connect you with a bit. Like, this is bananas. Like, again, I know I'm supposed to take my vitamin, but if I don't know the why, I'm like, ding. So you're telling me I'm basically going to be like a walking zombie with no muscle, no bone. I mean, okay.
I kind of feel like she nailed three or four things for each of us that we've all been or currently going through or currently forget to do because, if you don't do the B12, you forget to do the rest of it because your memory. So, it's just kind of it's fantastic. I'm super excited because I haven't taken a vitamin D in, I don't know, a couple of years now. So let's jump on that train first off because, wow. This
I
is just
mean,
getting increasingly rude as this goes on. Like, I'm about to say, I don't know.
we're all going to be typing out angry letters. I don't know to who, but to somebody.
I will say that I do take my, I've been very good about taking my vitamins, but I didn't understand the copper and the zinc. And I'm really glad that you brought that up because there are folks that have brought up those symptoms that you have described in the Berry Nation membership community. And I'm like, I don't know, make sure your iron's good. Like, 'cause that's what we know, right? Like dizziness or anemia, take your iron. Also, make sure you are getting copper or zinc. Like, make sure you're taking like a well-rounded bariatric vitamin. I think that's so crucial that we, I don't know, that we're talking about this because we had no idea.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
Well, the good news is most of the bariatric branded vitamins, they have the exact amount of everything you need. So in general, vitamin D, you need about 3,000 units a day, unless you have, you say to your doubles, which you probably need more than, I think it's up to 5 or 6,000 a day. And most of the once a day multivitamins have copper, zinc, selenium, probably some chromium, but things that you don't normally go looking to make sure they're in your vitamin, that's why they're in there. And that's why they are called bariatric multivitamins, because we have different needs because of our altered anatomy and the rapid weight loss. So yes, those, make sure your vitamins are aligned with what is recommended by the ASMBS.
Yep. Well, and this really kind of sounds like, I guess I never understood how important taking care of, loving on, paying attention to our muscles really was, because I just didn't understand the interconnectedness of it. And I know it sounds weird. I know I have muscles and skeletons and all that kind of stuff, but when you explain it really in this, to me, it's very circular, right? You make the decision to have surgery. Here's what surgery is going to do to your system. And here's what you have to do to combat kind of those negative effects that surgery is going to have on you. And no one ever told me just how dependent my bariatric journey was going to be on my muscle health. And then all of the things that are related to it because of that, that just, I don't know, it wasn't in my binder. Jason, was it in your binder?
No, I'm today years old when I'm finding this out.
Yeah.
I found out pretty recently myself. But to point out, your surgery center at least checked your body composition. I think that should be a universal mandate, because there is something called sarcopenic obesity, meaning you have the disease of obesity, but you also don't have enough muscle mass because of whatever reason, either immobility, nutritional, whatnot. And that is actually a predictor of poor outcome in health if you start out with low muscle mass going into surgery.
Wow.
So yes, muscle mass, especially because you lose the majority of it the first 3 months. I don't understand how, I think it's because there's not enough studies. If you try and search bariatric surgery and muscle mass, you'll get a bunch of articles, but basically all the articles say, well, not much is known because we don't know the pre-surgical muscle mass of patients. And most of the studies on muscle mass and muscle metabolism are for like performance athletes, not just for, you know, a normal, not, you know, not that they're abnormal, but, you know, like an average human, you know, they don't study the average humans or people who could have muscle pathology. They study, you know, for performance athletes. But there's, you know, even reading the amount of articles I read, like they even contradict each other at times. But the moral of the story is you do lose lean body mass as you age, and you do lose lean body mass with rapid weight loss. Some is expected, but you don't want it to go beyond what is expected, because that's where you run into trouble. You know, your muscle is, your skeletal muscle is how you metabolize, as I said, insulin, or glucose, so that you maintain insulin sensitivity, breaks down, you know, cholesterol, lipid, triglyceride, that type of thing. So it's your metabolic health comes from your skeletal muscle, essentially.
I'm just shocked, as all of us are, that we are today years old when we are just discovering this. So Dr. McMahon, if Jason, Natalie, and I were your patient, we were in your office and you were helping us prepare for bariatric surgery, or maybe, right, we are where we are with it. What would you recommend, or how would you encourage us to maybe start moving our bodies in a way that helps us retain or grow muscle? Or really, I guess, based on this conversation, how to take care of nutritionally the muscle that we have? Like, where would you want us to start?
Well, I think starting, with the very basics, start, like we always say, start where you are, start with what you're going to do. You know, the ASMBS and most of the organizations that make physical activity recommendations recommend the 150 to 200 minutes week of 150 to 200 minutes per week of exercise, and having both a mixture of cardiac or anaerobic exercise that helps your cardiac system and resistance training for your muscle. So, you know, the types of exercise, I mean, I'm not an exercise physiologist nor a personal trainer, but just from my reading, the best types of exercise to keep your muscle healthy are, endurance does count. So long walks, at a clipping, pretty good clip, does help keep your muscle healthy. It's just not as, may not have the as many benefits as true, like resistance training, but it's still better than, it's still healthy for your muscles. So don't discount what you're already doing. So, resistance training can be, so body weight is an option, resistance bands, light weights, or machines that you see at the gym. So I usually tell people, try and do, start with 10 minutes twice a week. So if you don't have weights, you can take two 16-ounce bottles of water, that's a pound each, and go on YouTube and do beginner arm exercises. If you have mobility issues, go and learn, chair exercises with ankle weights or wrist weights. Do wall push-ups if you can't do regular push-ups. It doesn't have to be fancy. You don't have to go to the gym and go crazy. You just have to start incorporating it in over time. I always tell people, go to TJ Maxx or some store that has, they have like this whole section of weights. Start out with like 2 or 3 pounds and 5 pound weights at home. And just same thing. There's free things on YouTube. On Instagram, there's the bariatric trainer. She always has little mini videos of beginner exercises that have, she does with weights, without weights, whatever health app you choose to use, Apple Fitness, Peloton, there's all different types of exercises, but you do want to make sure you have proper form and do it the right way. So if you have access, you should at least try and meet with a personal trainer if you do have that opportunity so that you learn proper mechanics so that you don't injure yourself. But I tell people to start small. So I usually tell them take a 10 minute walk twice a day. And then twice a week, I want you to do 10 minutes of some type of resistance training. So I give them a list of those things. It's the same handout you give people. And then if they want more information, I, give them links and different handouts. But in a perfect world, every bariatric center would have a bariatric personal trainer. And you get people started as soon as they're cleared by their surgeon, because that would be where you get the most benefit, is the earlier you start. Like, they want you to start walking right away. Really, they should have you learn some resistance exercises early in the process.
Yep.
Well, and I think what you said is super important, because people, we're big on telling people to meet yourself where you're at. Like, don't try to do too much. Don't try to overdo, because that's, it's kind of along the same lines of you finding an exercise that you like, that works for you, that you'll continue to do. It's the same thing if you try to do too much too early and burn yourself out and realize, if you get discouraged at the fact that you can't do something that you, like, I know for myself, I had to really talk myself off the ledge when I couldn't go back to lifting what I was used to lifting before. So previously, before I had my revision, I was on like a 9 month solid, working out every day, going to the gym, doing the things, built up this like really good regimen, was seeing gains, was doing all the things. And then my doctor realized I was having blood pressure issues and just stopped me dead in my tracks. Like, don't go back until we get you lined out. Don't go. So I just didn't. And I ended up not going for the same amount of time that I was going for. And then when I went to try to go back in, I did. I got myself discouraged because I went in trying to do the same things I did before. And when I realized I couldn't do that, I just stopped going altogether because I did not want to. I was so depressed at the fact that I had lost all of my progress that starting over seemed like this monumental task to me that I just didn't have it in me to start over again. So I just didn't do it. So it was one of those really harsh, like, come to, had a really serious conversation with myself where I had to get out of that mindset because it's only natural that it took me 9 months to get there. And the same 9 months not doing it would, I mean, it's trading day for day, basically. So the fact that I wasn't still be able to go back in and do, 100, 100 shrugs with 50-pound weights is ridiculous to me if I haven't done them for 9 months. So I really think it's very important to keep yourself open to the fact that it's going to take some building on your part and not to get down on yourself.
Correct. There's actually a statistic, and probably not exact, but if you have an illness and you're in bed for a week, you can lose up to 10% of your muscle mass. So if you're sick, you burn up, muscle if you're not feeding it. So I'm saying that not to depress you, but to say that if you have to take a break, that's what happens. I mean, you regress a little bit, but the good news is if every time you restart, you're going to build more muscle and become stronger. But it is humbling. I get it when you don't. I mean, I haven't been on my bike because I was on a walking kick and I got back on the Peloton and found like I was lost all of my gains. I mean, I was having trouble with the lower resistances again and the higher speed. So if you don't use it, you lose it on any type of exercise. So I think that's just the key is you have to have consistency when you can. And then if you have an injury or a setback or an illness, modify and do what you can do to, that's still better than not doing anything. So, the exercises that you can get the most bang for your buck, like I think we had talked about time-wise, is if you have the ability to do HIIT training. And if you do 10 minutes of HIIT training once a week, that's actually really good for your muscles and really good for your cardiovascular health. So, if you're a walker, walk normal, power walk as hard as you can for a minute and then walk normal, kind of go back and forth. If you're a runner, sprint for 30 seconds and then jog, whatever HIIT means to you is that's a good way is to getting your heart rate up and down and that puts stress on your muscles as well. So that is a good way to keep your skeletal muscle healthy in addition to resistance training. And that's also a great way to work on burning abdominal fat tissue.
I just every time we record one of these episodes, I just leave here going, I can't believe we did not know this, but we are so thankful, Dr. McMahon, for your time and your expertise and your willingness to share with us all of this amazing information that you've worked so hard to learn. I mean, truly, it's just thank you so very much.
I tell the residents I trained that I've been doing this over 20 years and I literally still learn something new every single day. And I feel like being a bariatric patient is basically the same way. I learn something new every single day or, see something that I wasn't told in the beginning or see things that can be improved upon. I mean, it's just the nature of our journey. So until you live it, you don't see all the different things that you don't know.
Right? We say that all the time. You don't know it until you know you don't know it. And then we have these conversations and we can move forward armed with new information that will really help us embrace the bariatric lifestyle that we want. If you are a member of the Bari Nation membership community, or if you are a supporter of this podcast, we're actually going to continue the conversation with Dr. McMahon. We have some awesome questions that have come in from the community, specifically on how do I strength train at home when I don't have a lot of space or I don't have a lot of equipment. protein questions about how do I really make sure that my protein intake is matching the resistance movement that I'm doing, and just really where do we begin. So if you would like to hear the answers to those questions, become a member of the community or become a supporter of this podcast, we would love to welcome you into the community. You can actually get to know all of us, including Dr. McMahon, a little bit more there. And you can absolutely help us produce this podcast by becoming a supporter of it. So just head to berrynationpodcast.com if you'd like to support us that way, or berrynation.mn.co if you would like to join us in the community. Dr. McMahon, where can people connect with you outside of Berry Nation?
I'm mostly on Instagram, but I haven't been very active on there lately just because busyness, but I'm under ShanMac718, so ShanMac718, and Berry Nation, I'm under my regular name, Shannon McMahon. And one of these days, I'm going to do an official obesity medicine / bariatric educational page, but time at the moment yes, is not there. But yeah, I'm friendly. You can always reach out to me. My things are all private, so if you won't be able to send me a message unless we're following each other. So if you can, you're welcome to send me a follow request as long as I can tell that you're a legit bariatric patient. I accept all of those. Otherwise I'm available on the community, or if you reach out to April, Natalie, or Jason, they can get a hold of me and can answer questions.
Yep, that's also a great way too. Or just become a member and then you get to hang out with Dr. McMahon all the time. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. Thank you again, Dr. McMahon, for joining us today. This has been awesome. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you to our community members, friends, families, followers, all the things that help spread the word of what we're doing here, because the people that need to hear it are finally getting to hear it, and they're coming in droves, and we appreciate you guys so much for that. Like April said, you can become a supporter of the podcast with our Patreon, or you can become a member of the community in Berry Nation. We would love either one of those things. So we appreciate you for assisting us and helping keep the Zoom lights on, so to speak. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we will see you next time.
Awesome. Bye, friends.
Bye, everybody.